Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
What are the implications of not having Justice Scalia on the bench, having only eight justices there now? And what are the implications of replacing Justice Scalia with someone who is completely opposite to his view that you should maintain the original intent of the Constitution? We're going to be talking about both of those issues on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Matt Barber, the founder of barbedwire.com. Matt, let's talk first of all about the cases right now that are pending before the Supreme Court, some of which have been argued, some of which have been voted on by the Supreme Court, some of which are coming up for oral argument later this year, all of which are due to have a decision no later than June of this year. And then we'll talk about the implications of replacing Justice Scalia with someone who is completely contrary to his views of the Constitution. First of all, with respect to the cases that are already there, some cases have already been argued, and the justices have voted on those cases. They're in the writing phase. We don't know whether Justice Scalia was actually writing one or more of those opinions. We do know he was obviously writing some of those opinions. We just don't know which ones. And we do know 100% that he was part of the vote of all of the opinions that have already been argued, and the term is already more than halfway over. So what happens to those cases in which Justice Scalia is a part of? Well, the best estimate and the best knowledge is that his vote will be voided. So no matter which way he was in, if he was in the majority, assuming that it was a 5-4 majority, even if he was writing the opinion, his vote will likely become void, and that will ultimately tip the balance of that particular decision, making it perhaps a 4-4 decision.
Yeah, that's not good news. And there are a number of very important cases that the Supreme Court will be looking at in the second half of its term, as you mentioned. And a number of things are at play here. Religious liberty. I mean, the Little Sisters of the Poor case. There are cases relative to the Second Amendment. So it's critical that the balance between the Supreme Court be reinstated as it's been. It's already leaned in favor of the progressives on the court. Justice Kennedy is considered the swing vote, but he on the big cases typically aligns himself with the other four very liberal justices. So there's a real void by the passing here of Justice Scalia. And he must be replaced with a similarly originalist justice.
Yeah, if we look at some of the cases that have already been argued, we have the case involving the University of Texas at Austin. That was an individual who was a white female who wanted to get accepted to law school, I believe it was. And she was denied admission, where others who were African Americans or other minorities were accepted to be admitted, although their academic credentials were lower. Their LSATs and their GPAs were lower. So she got denied not because she had lower stats, but because she was not in a minority category, even though she was female. So that was already argued, and the case has been one that, based upon the oral argument, it looked like the Supreme Court was going to dismantle some of the affirmative action decisions of the past. This is kind of a twist on the affirmative action. Then there's also the case of the teachers' unions that were forcing teachers, including Christian teachers, to be a part of a union and pay union dues. It looks like that particular case would also have been one that would dismantle some of the old Supreme Court opinions on unions. Both of these would get closer back to the original understanding of the Constitution rather than an activist court that ultimately instituted those opinions. We also have cases that are pending that have not been argued. The Texas abortion clinic regulations, that is the case where Texas says that you need to have at least hospital admitting privileges to be someone who's performing abortions in Texas. Now, we'll talk about the implications of a 4-4 split in a minute. Then you also have the Obamacare abortion regulations, just to name a few. That is the abortion, contraception, induced medication, morning after pill, the abortifacient drugs. Now, let's look at these two cases, the ones I just mentioned. First of all, the case out of Texas with the abortion clinic regulations. The Court of Appeals upheld those regulations, upheld them. So if there's a 4-4 split, meaning that there's no decision by the Supreme Court, then that ultimately will be upheld, but it won't be a final decision of the highest court. It'll just be a Court of Appeals, and the battle will have to continue on through the other states, later maybe coming back to the Supreme Court. Then on the Obamacare regulations, there's multiple cases. It's not just Little Sisters of the Poor. In fact, in that case, the Court of Appeals ruled against Little Sisters of the Poor. And in the other cases, there's several cases all pending together, the Court of Appeals ruled in favor of those individuals or those entities. So if there was a 4-4 split there, that means all of those, I think there's about five cases or so, that are currently before the court, all of which are being presented at the same time, those cases would all have no opinion, meaning that there would be a split. So Little Sisters of the Poor would come out on the short end of the stick, meaning Little Sisters of the Poor, the Court of Appeals ruled against them. On the other hand, some others in different courts of appeal will come out a victor because the courts of appeal have ruled in favor of them. So you're going to have this split across the country. Now, what would they do with that? They might ultimately hold the case over, if it's a 4-4 split, for a re-argument, setting it for argument sometime after this particular vacancy is filled. We just don't know what's going to happen. And we also have other cases, too, that are going to be in similar situations. So it's going to be a confusing, problematic situation until the seat is filled. On the other hand, if it's filled with someone who's completely opposite to Scalia, then we've lost the court and many of our liberties and freedoms, specifically on the social issues, for decades. And that's why it's so important that it gets filled with the right person.
Well, hopefully, you know, clearer heads on the Supreme Court will prevail here. The Supreme Court typically, their position in a place that they are to resolve disputes among lower courts and establish legal precedents. And obviously, by accepting a number of these cases from the courts of appeals, they have indicated that they have an interest in resolving the dispute. And so, a tie vote frustrates those goals and really essentially wastes the court's time. So hopefully, as you mentioned, the possibility that when a replacement for Scalia has been nominated and confirmed, hopefully, as you point out, during the next presidency, that the court will revisit some of these very controversial cases rather than relying on the 4-4 split, which was essentially just a wash.
Now let's go back and look at a couple of cases if this had happened a year ago. Let's look at, for example, the 5-4 decision of the U.S. Supreme Court June 26 on marriage. We had, in that case, some courts of appeal that struck down the marriage laws of their states. Those were not before the United States Supreme Court at the time. They denied review of those cases, meaning that they went into effect. What they accepted was a case or cases that ultimately upheld the state's definition of marriage as a union of man and woman. That was a 5-4 opinion to overturn them. If it was a 4-4 decision, if Scalia was not there at that time in June of last year, then it would have been a 4-4 split decision, meaning that the lower court opinion would still be in effect. I'm wrong with that. It would have been a 5-3 opinion. It would have been a 5-3 opinion. It wouldn't be 5-4, so it would even be a greater separation between the two. So that one would not have been affected. The Obamacare case would not have been affected because that was 5-4. And, of course, if Scalia wasn't there, it'd be 5-3. So those cases would stay exactly as they were, and they would have a greater majority than what they did. The problem, however, though, is right now with filling this vacancy. Filling the vacancy is so critical. We have so much to talk about on that issue, and we'll probably save that for the next Faith and Freedom. because that is such a critical issue to fill the vacancy and what the Senate must do. The Senate must dig their heels in, and they must block any nominee from President Barack Obama. Go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org. That's lc.org. Or libertycouncil.com. I encourage you, specifically at libertycouncil.com, to sign a petition urging the Senate, the senators, to block any nominee from President Barack Obama. The future of America literally depends on blocking that nominee, because we know what kind of nominee Obama would ultimately make.
You have been listening to Faith and Freedom with Matt Staver of Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Working together, we can make a difference. Get informed and stay involved. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org. That's lc.org. And tune in next time right here for Faith and Freedom.